B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
3 o'clock.
Brought to us by Corbelli's Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pot hoagie party trays. Every bit as good. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. And we're talking about the Eagles. You know, I just visited the restroom. Tyrone, I don't know. And Natalie, I don't know if what it's the same hand sanitizer that's in the ladies' room as the men's room. But Tyrone, have you noticed that the hand sanitizer smells like whiskey?
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're squirting your hands with whiskey.
Yeah, we have it too.
It's whiskey smelling.
Yeah, definitely.
It may have been one of those booze companies that switched to making hand sanitizer.
I got to be honest with you. It reminded me of like being ultra drunk and sick on whiskey. That smell.
So some of them also smell like tequila.
Really?
Yeah. And then there's another one that smells like it has like a more specific smell. And I recalled like college parties.
Yeah, this is accidentally smell like whiskey. It doesn't say whiskey flavor at all.
No, it's not.
Yeah, so I started thinking the Leonard Skinner song pops in my head. My head more works. So I go from whiskey going, remember smelling this, feeling sick, to ooh, that smell by Leonard Skinner.
Oh.
Whiskey bottles and brand new cars, you know, that.
Is that
and
the
then I started to think
smell?
About, right, and I started to think about Neil Young. Because Neil Young did Southern Man, and then Leonard Skinner countered with Sweet Home Alabama, where they ripped Neil Young. Would that be considered a rock beef?
Yes.
Back in the day?
Yeah.
Like today, if that happened, we'd play that out as a beef.
It was a beef, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't recall it being a beef. There's this guy, you know, they got Neil Young didn't respond to it.
Well, I mean, they're not like the beef in type.
Yeah.
What's he going to write? Like
Neil Young?
A diss song.
Well,
I think
Leonard Skinner says Southern Man don't need him around anyhow.
Yeah.
About Neil Young. I hope Neil Young will remember.
Sometimes those beef break out over time. Skinner actually had a very small window.
Yeah.
Once the crash comes, you going to fire back at him? Now, if you have to be, that's a cold game if you did that.
Yeah.
You waited till the plane crashed and then decide to write a song on it.
Yeah, I guess you can't fire back after that. But when it comes out, they're still alive.
Yeah, but remember, everything moves slower then. Information, he probably wasn't even paying attention to the lyrics for probably 6 months.
And Neil Young's not that kind of guy. Is he?
I don't know. I couldn't. Like, all those guys were nuts in Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. They were all, like, mentally... I was listening the other day, because I recalled it, that I had the double album, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. It was called Four-Way Street.
I've heard of
Four-Way
Street.
And it's a double album live, and I asked Siri to play it for me. Yeah. I mean, Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexa delivered. It's fantastic. It's so good. It's hard to believe. Because each one of them, like, they let each one of them take over. So there's a Neil Young segment, and there's a Crosby segment, and the Stills comes on board, and Graham, you know, it's fantastic.
It's
the best live.
Yeah,
in fact, it may
too.
Be the best live work I've ever heard.
Really?
Yes. That's how good it is.
That's a big claim.
It is a big claim.
That's a big claim.
I'm telling you, you got Four-Way Street. You got to check it out.
Best ever.
And I've had a lot of live albums. I listen to a lot of albums. This is so perfect. But there's not even a flaw in it, the way those guys played that night. Now, they're all stoned and they're all crazy and they hate each other. But that night, they put it all together.
It's all about the music. That's right.
I guess.
It's all about the music.
For that day, it was. Other times, it's about
I was shocked how they pulled it off. Really, all the turmoil they got involved in. That night, or whether it was over a couple, I don't even know. But it was just sweet.
Who's the most talented?
Well, Crosby's the best singer.
Yes. I go with
that. But he wasn't a great guitar player. Stills is a fantastic musician. But his songs, Neil Young's songs hit more than anybody.
So he's but he's not a great singer.
No, but he's got that Neil Young style.
Yeah, that whiny.
Yeah, and Nash was just kind of like, he's like utility infielder.
Right. So it's between Crosby and Young.
Yeah, as far as, I don't know, Stills is way more talented than Crosby as far as musically. Like, he's a keyboard artist. He's a great guitar player.
Yeah.
But Crosby had that voice that was just dripping.
So Neil Young wins. And that,
yes,
and a guy once, I had to kick him out of my apartment. He got so angry. I was playing a Neil Young record, an album, and he was trying to tell me how Neil Young stunk. And after a while, I got tired of hearing it because I was listening to the album, so I told him to get out.
I guess he had the most success with his songs resonating over the years. I don't know, but I was always a Crosby man. His voice was just, I mean, in songs like Triad and Wooden Ships and Guinevere, I mean, those things are just...
Yeah.
Poetry. Yeah.
I feel like Neil Young was kind of able to transcend to, you know, younger generations. Like, I listened to Neil Young as a teenager, but I didn't listen to...
Neil Young had the knack in that band of looking from the outside at all of them as nuts.
Right.
Like, he all knew that, and he stayed above the fray. And he was only there for a short time.
Yeah.
Because I can't mess with this Crosby. He's out of his mind. Nash, you know, nice guy, but come on. It was still, we were in the same band together. We battled. Like, I had enough of him, too. Like, he was just on the, he's like this Canadian outsider looking.
Yeah.
A lot of people tell me it doesn't count. Like, they don't even acknowledge Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. They don't put the Young in. They don't even acknowledge that it happened.
Yeah.
They were very angry at me about that as well. All right, guys.
Let's go to David in Texas. David, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. David. Yo, Dave.
Hey, I just want to talk about the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I see a lot of people blaming Doug for going for it. I have no issue with it. People assume the game's over at 17-0. No, a 17-point lead is nothing. So I had no issue with them trying to score again. People are doing this because they're saying this because in hindsight, if we score a touchdown, not one person would have said, no, I disagree. We should have just run the
ball. Yeah, that's why I don't get all cranked up about the decision to throw the ball there. That wasn't the thing that lost them the game. The non-adjustments to what Washington did in the second half lost them the game.
Well, yeah, I mean, a little bit, but most of the blame goes on Wentz, in my opinion. He missed way too many throws. I think with Wentz, I think Doug may have to readjust. He may just have to treat him like a game manager and just treat him like a Tannehill-type quarterback where he can rein him in so he won't be all just trying to throw all these passes down the field like that. Just treat him like a game manager. Treat him like you think he's a backup quarterback. So you just know, just because.
Well, a game manager, you need certain personnel, right? The only personnel that suits being a game manager, your tight ends. A game manager means the other young guys, all they do is run go routes at this point. They would have to run more precise routes. They, as a game manager, they're not capable of doing that yet.
No, but what's his name?
Ortega Whiteside can't even, they don't even target him.
But no, the receiver were open. Rager was open deep. He hit him.
It was a go route. I'm talking to if you're talking about game manager, you're talking about shorter throws with more precise routes.
And I think they should do Rager on more quick slants.
Yeah, well, what I'm telling you, young guys don't have that knack yet to be that.
Well, they do it in practice. I've been reading stuff on practice all day.
Who are they playing against in practice? Guys with shells on?
These are
NFL coverages. Those guys, you saw those two routes. They were softly run routes that resulted in the interceptions.
But the bottom line is I have no issue going for it, but I think maybe he needs this rein Wentz back in and just instead of doing all these go routes, maybe just make it more. Our running game isn't that good because the guys are out. So I'm not going to say run the ball like that because he did try. Like we were losing yardage, but just maybe just do quicker throws.
Yeah, I get it. I'm agreeing with you. I'm countering with something, and you're not hearing the counter. And yeah, maybe they have to make him more of a game manager, which is quick 3-step drops. But then you're talking about precise timing routes. And these kids probably aren't at that level yet.
No way.
You saw precise timing routes.
Hightower on the slant. Mm-hmm. These guys are rounding out. Guys are watching it. Mm-hmm. We're talking about they're rounding out a lot of their routes. They're not sharp yet. Deshaun's the only one who you can rely on to run a good route, but you prefer him going deep because he's your veteran speed guy. Mm-hmm. But they might have to. That might be an adjustment. You might need to use Deshaun more out of his comfort zone just because you know he can do it. Because people give him a lot of space because of his speed. Mm-hmm. He actually can break it off hard for a quick slant because guys give him room still. But they prefer to not do that. They prefer to use the underneath the tight end guys and have the other guys get more vertical. That's why I don't think it's going to happen. Plus, Wentz, even if you try to make him a game manager, he's still going to try to push it downfield. It's what that's his DNA. Win or lose, that's what he's going to try to do. You can change as much as you want. His mind is still, I'm going to score on every play.
Yeah.
That needs to change, but I don't know if it's going to change in a week.
Whiskey bottles. Skinner fans are they crack me up. I was overhearing two Skinner fans once, and they were talking about a concert that was at the Spectrum, Skinner. And we're waiting all concert, right, man? And all of a sudden, the lights go down real low. They go down real low, and you just knew something was going to happen. And yet, we heard the guitar. It was the anthem, dude. Freebird.
Freebird.
Freebird in a bar. Guy starts. Everybody. It feels like one guy got to be the first to scream it.
Dude, it was the anthem,
and it goes on forever. So then, halfway through, there's another guy yelling, "Freebird!" I'm like, if you don't shut up, I'm having a drink.
Mac in Harrisburg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mac,
how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Mac?
You know, I'm so damn tired of that Dougie and Carson. Mm-hmm. Every time they lose a game like they did Sunday, I got to do better. I'm so tired of that song and dance. And last year they lost a couple games against teams that have not too good a record, and they play and they were complacent. And this is what happened Sunday. They thought them guys were going to, after halftime, pack up like a cheap tent and go home. And they played to the end.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong.
Yeah, you don't sound happy. You're watching that game in Harrisburg, Mac, and you were, I could tell you were like yelling at the TV. Right?
Up. I mean, like a day.
Yeah.
Hey, every time they lose like that, Doug and Carson have this song and dance. Well, we got to do better. Why didn't you do better to start with? It's nonsense. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for taking my call.
All right, Mac. Oh, you got it off your chest. I like it.
Mac. Nonsense on Sunday.
On Sunday.
On Sunday. Mac's great.
Carson does kind of get a little too cavalier in explaining his faux pas.
Yeah,
a little too cavalier for my taste.
What would you like him to do, though?
That was terrible. I gotta get rid of Baltimore. He refutes it. You know, I don't refute it. Just, you know, both of those guys need to suck it. Listen, I know we shouldn't put stock in what anybody says after a game. I get it. It's not that meaningful because they're only going to lie to you anyway. But if you take like just inventory, yeah, we got to do that was terrible effort. We got to do some different things. It's my fault a lot. This is I'm talking about the coach and Carson. Yeah, I got to review my situation. Maybe I do hold the ball too long. Review it and own it.
But he literally used those words after the game.
He
literally
said, yeah.
"I must own it."
Did he?
Yeah, he literally said those exact words you just said.
Yeah, I didn't hear him say that.
I can find it. He definitely said, "I gotta own it."
All right.
Now the coach didn't, and the next day the coach still defended.
He agrees that he holds the ball too long, though. Does he agree to that?
No, because if he did, he wouldn't hold it too long.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But he doesn't.
Maybe I held the ball too long. You know, that's all he's got to say.
I think he
agrees more with the result.
I have a theory that he wants to deflect, but he knows that he can't.
Yeah. Well. All right, let's go Mike in Creekside. Uh-oh, Mike again. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up,
Kevin in Delaware, Mike from Creekside, same day.
Okay, I got it. You yesterday, you brought up this thing about a question that needs to be asked.
Uh-huh.
And it came to me last night.
Oh, you got to.
Okay?
Yeah.
You run the ball 3-4 times, and you don't get anywhere. Mm-hmm. So you stop running the ball. But now, you go out and run 3 series of doing nothing but passes, but you don't stop passing the ball. So why is it you can keep passing the ball when the passing game ain't working, but don't run the ball just because the running game ain't working?
Well, it's a conundrum. I don't know how to answer. First of all, you know his whole MO has been to throw more than run. You know that, right? And he's big on analytics, the numbers will say that they're more successful when they get closer to a 50-50. But he doesn't seem to take inventory about
analytics. Go out and use your brain and coach a game. And for that one caller, I was the one sitting here all by myself and saying, okay, a minute 55 seconds, kill the clock. If you get in field goal range, take a field goal. You do not have to go for the jugular all the time. Sometimes you just go for the 3 points. If not,
well, throwing that pass was going for the 3 points. They were trying to move the ball down the field to get into a position to score.
But they have been passing so much, the team sitting on it, you got to use each one to keep them from sitting on the other one. If you just keep passing, they're going to do what they did. If you don't use a run to break up the tempo of what's going on for the defense, you're just throwing yourself in a hole.
I didn't know. I got to be honest with you. I didn't really have a problem with him going for it there.
I did. I just called it all the way. I don't really.
When you're up 17-0, that team stinks, and you want to press it on their neck. It's easy after the fact to say that's a bad play. It's easy after the fact. It's a bad route. It was a bad throw. Now, if he makes the right throw and the guy runs the right route, maybe that's a good play.
Bad call.
Okay. All right.
Bad call.
Yeah, like I say, my problem is not that. My problem is the inability to adjust once the other team did get back in the game. You can still win the game. You can overcome a mistake like that. Suppose they do score, and they did. You still have a lead. What turns the game around is that you can't. Your offensive line can't stop what they're doing. Let's go to what? Go ahead.
I do have one small concern with the defense.
Mm-hmm.
The red zone defense did not look good in the game.
Yeah.
Short fields, but they could have held them to field goals a couple times.
Yeah.
Once they got down there, that's one thing I have to see against the Rams, because the Rams will move the ball better, obviously, than Washington. Inside the 20, they have to steal themselves.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I agree, and I think the defense coordinator could have been a lot more aggressive with that quarterback.
Yeah, well, no
But we didn't mention the defensive tackle. Was he there? Did the defensive tackle play?
No. Jackson did. Cox didn't make a single play.
Is Cox on the other side? Because Aaron Donald sure dominates. Is Cox, like, what did he do in that game?
He had one tackle,
didn't he?
Yeah, I'm not going to decide because of one game he's done.
Okay. I mean, make an impact.
No, he had a bad game. And he got the skate, and it would have been nice. And also, Maddox undercut one that he should have picked off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, the one knock on it lately has been the lack of turnovers. And Slay did a good job. 50 snaps, he covered a guy. The guy had 2 catches for 26 yards.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about him. But collectively, playmaking on the defensive side would have been nice. I understand it's a short field. I get it. It's not their fault. But go get the ball back from a rookie, from a neophyte quarterback, would have been nice. And that's something they're going to have to do going forward.
All right, let's go Aaron in Norristown. Aaron.
Michael, how you doing today?
Good. Did you like the comments yesterday of Alain Vigneault on this squad? I'm just curious if you had any reaction to what Alain was saying.
I'm just watching the games. I don't really.
Oh, okay. All right. It was like a kind of an exit interview with Alain.
Yeah, I heard part of it. I've been watching Dallas.
All right. Okay.
Anyway, I wanted to talk to you. I called you a few years ago, like the year after the Super Bowl, and I noticed the one difference. I'm not comparing him. I don't think Foles is the guy we should have kept, so I don't need to hear the Folesian comments or anything. But
How's everyone doing?
I know that he's a Wentzick, which means that you can't comment on Wentz without him going Foles. So I noticed the one thing he did, which he couldn't do that Foles did, which is throw the screen pass. Now, the play that you haven't talked about that really killed that game was when they were up 17-14 in field goal range, and my man fades back to throw what? A screen. But he doesn't know how to do it, so he panics. Just like the play he got hurt against Seattle, which was a screen play. He can't get the ball out of his hands. And not only does he take a sack, he decides to run back 10 yards and take us to a 53-yard
goal. Talking about
goal.
With the middle linebacker untouched blitz? That one?
No, that was the fourth down play.
Okay.
I'm talking when the third down play when they kicked on fourth down.
Uh-huh.
But they were up 17-14. They kicked that field goal as 20-14. I mean, you know what? I'm so happy you're saying what you're saying about his development. He's in his fifth year, Michael. It's enough. I don't need to hear. Every time you criticize Wentz, there always has to be. It's almost like criticizing my boy G. There has to be.
Yeah, I don't think anything more. I don't think we've had anybody stick up for Wentz.
I saw the social media comments. It was all defending, you know, like, oh, it's the coach's fault. Oh, it's the line.
I don't know. I saw the same social media. 85% against the quarterback at this point.
Well, Michael, you know what? Here's what's going to happen. He's either going to start putting up 300-plus yard games in today's NFL and leading this team, or he's going to get traded, and we're going to have to rebuild, which is going to suck.
Well, I don't think there's any question he's getting traded next year.
Well, then we're going to have to rebuild.
Because that's why. But again, I'm giving him too much credit. Maybe they did boneheadedly just draft Jalen Hurts, a guy they can't activate, because they wanted a better backup. Maybe. Sure. I'm giving him credit for higher-level thinking than that, and I might be wrong.
Michael, you know what? It's game two. We'll know in 15 weeks, right?
And on
Skinner and Neil Young, that was just a fun beef, by the way. Skinner actually wore, on the Street Survivors album, Ronnie Van Zant wore a Neil Young album.
Is that right?
And Neil used to play wearing Skinner. He actually played in concert, Sweet Home Alabama, and he actually used to wear Skinner shirts in concert. He actually wrote a couple songs for Ronnie Van Zant on his single album, so that was just good fun.
They were all stoned, so you can't beef when you're stoned.
Now, if you listen to the album Harvest, the song Alabama, his beef is with the state and the southern people, not with Ronnie Van Zant, Lynyrd Skynyrd. But
yeah, but Skynyrd, say the one of the lyrics says, "Birmingham, we love the governor."
I don't know.
Yeah, Birmingham, we love the governor, and that was Wallace.
That's not great.
No. 610, and I don't know if they were mocking it or that's a lyrick. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. Mike Mastelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Mastelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
75 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get an update on our Twitter poll at 3:30. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Nat.
Thanks, Mike. We have two polls. We added another addendum to the first one. So the first one was, have you lost faith in the following? 15% say Wentz, 13% say Peterson, 22% say both, 50% say neither. And then we added another one. Should we have included Howie in the original poll? 77% say yes, 23% say no. So more people might have lost more faith in Howie.
Yeah,
I've been accused
by an emailer of not putting Howie on the griddle today. Dear Mike, how come no one is lighting a fire under Howie? I think we've lit many fires under Howie.
Yeah, and yesterday too, talking about the personnel and the backups and the depth, and he plays a role in why the running backs that they had versus the running backs they didn't have. He's all involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
So Rager addressed the media today via Zoom, and this is where he's different than Aguilar. They asked him about the second deep ball that was overthrown.
Yeah.
Him on his own brings up that apparently the way the route was, it was like an out and in. It wasn't just a straight go route.
Yeah.
When he makes the first cut out, Carson then has to release the ball. He then has to cut in. Instead, he says out loud that he rounded into the route, and that's why the ball was overthrown. Talking about timing.
Yeah.
Compare him to Aguilar. I like him more than Aguilar. They asked him about the play, and rather than say, I don't know, he came up with a real answer as to what he could have done differently.
Yeah.
And why, with getting on the same page as the quarterback, that gives me some hope.
But Aggie made a catch for those Raiders already, early in that game, tracking that ball.
Yeah, well, you knew that
Derek
was
Carr.
You knew that was going to happen. Once, an eclipse. Let's see if he has a season.
Yeah, we don't miss Aguilar, but there's some baseball guys. You miss Michael Franco?
I do.
You're a Michael Franco guy. Got 15 doubles, 7 home runs, 31 RBIs for the KC Royals.
And I know he doesn't know how to play baseball, but look who they have, what their plan was at third base. That guy doesn't know how to play baseball either. Now Bohm can play. I'm saying their plan was.
Yeah, I don't miss Franco because they have Bohm, at least at that position.
I get it.
Cesar.
I don't miss Cesar.
Oh, Cesar.
I don't miss Cesar.
No?
No.
Cesar's having a year. No, he's not. He's 266.
He's the same guy.
Yeah, 333 on base percentage. However, Fangraphs rates him as the best defensive second baseman in baseball.
Well, but you know, I don't even miss him there. They have, when as long as Jetpack's not there, the defense has been solid at second base. So now I'm good with Cesar. Right. I do miss that they traded too soon. The shortstop that's out with the Mariners now. Can't believe I'm blanking on his name. Crawford.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
For the money, yeah. He's as good as the, I could have played him at second base.
Yeah. Speaking of baseball, all right, tomorrow night is the big Inside the Locker Zoom situation. So you can get in under the wire if you choose. Now you could get Inside the Locker Room access with former Phillies Mickey Morandini and Tommy Green. If you go to our contest page right now, 975thefanatic.com, register for Inside the Locker Zoom. You may be picked. And if you're picked, we're picking 10 listeners. You'll be in a Zoom chat with me, Mickey Morandini, Tommy Green, tomorrow night, September 16th, from 15 p.m. to approximately 7 p.m. You can ask questions or just hang out in the Zoom chat. Depending on whatever you want to do, you hang out and talk with Mickey and Tommy or me. I'm just going to kind of be a moderator. But it's all courtesy of T-Mobile. So get in under the wire on our website, 975thefanatic.com, and register for the Inside the Locker Zoom contest. All right, let's go to Eric in Jersey. Eric, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Eric?
Hey, Mikey Mets, how you doing?
What's up, Eric?
Can I switch up real quick? Flyers really quick.
Sure, go ahead.
Being the offseason and all. Flyers were reportedly offered Willem Nylander from the Toronto Maple Leafs for Travis Sanheim. Would you take that trade?
No. I like Sanheim.
Okay, but knowing the problems that the Flyers have offensively, do you think that...
They got some young guys offensively that I think I can count on. I like Sanheim.
Okay. I just want your opinion. I think that we
they need scoring. Listen, I'm not discounting the fact they need scoring. I wouldn't like to me a defenseman like that who I think can pair well with the other guy. That's a valuable addition for me. A guy that can jump into the play.
I agree on that standpoint. Mm-hmm. But with the Flyers saying that they have all these prospects on the defense, and you know, Ghost is now our seventh man defenseman.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons why they need to keep Sanheim, because of Ghost. They're going to move him out of there.
No, I don't think everybody's going to take his contract.
Well, I don't think he's going to be back with them next year. They'll figure out a way to move him.
Yeah. All right, appreciate it.
Is that it? A little Flyer action. We had a little Flyer action today.
Nice.
It is nice.
Like that.
Hey, AV came out yesterday. AV was annoyed by the connection. Did you hear it?
Yeah,
you're looking annoyed by the connection. Didn't like it.
Well,
the Zoom Connect.
Sorry,
it's going in and out.
Sorry, Brian Bond.
He's back in Quebec City, brother.
Yeah,
sipping on his little.
Yeah, I was watching the thing. I didn't even know Canada had a mobster.
But they have
a bunch.
No, the one guy. I was watching the documentary last night on the Canadian Godfather.
Ooh.
His name was Vito. What the hell is his last name? He got involved. You know that Donnie Brasco, when they shoot Sonny Red?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was an actual murder. Sonny Red is an actual guy.
Oh, Vito Rizzuto?
Rizzuto, yes. Hell, Rizzuto for the money star. No. Yeah. Vito Rizzuto. Yeah. Was one of the guys, he came down from Canada and zipped Sonny Red.
Really?
From the Donnie Brasco thing.
Wow.
Who knew?
Yeah, he was the godfather of Canada, lived in Montreal.
No, it's funny you should say that.
Vito Rizzuto, eh?
There's
gonna get ya.
There was this wrestling documentary show on Vice called Dark Side of the Ring. And I was watching an episode from a wrestler from my childhood named Dino Bravo. He got murdered in his house by the Canadian mob. They were doing an illegal cigarette sale.
Because
apparently the tax up there in Canada was ridiculous way back then.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was moving cigarettes. He missed a shipment. They killed my man in his house. They never found the killer. They know it was a professional hit from the mob.
Vito Rizzuto was no joke. He was in bed with the New York families to import the drugs over the border was an easier smuggling opportunity. 400 miles from Montreal and New York City.
Yeah. I see that.
That's what Vito was into.
And so look at that.
Canadians are always unsuspecting, too.
Who knew?
Everybody thinks they're nice.
Who knew?
I heard it. So that's now two stories I've heard in a month.
They came over like the Godfather. The father was with mobster in Sicily. Yeah. He came over. The ship landed in Nova Scotia. They drove right to Montreal.
So he
put their roots down, both.
Right, Montreal, same way.
Exactly.
See, this is why.
I didn't know.
Certain Italians don't trust other Italians. Because you got certain problems.
There
some guys that move to Montreal and want to live on the up and up. And then they see the mob guy who fired them over the boat.
The notorious Rizzuto crime family in Montreal, Quebec.
Who would have thought? Speaking French? French Canada.
I can't figure it out, man. It's going to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Andrew?
So, going back to the birds real quick. I know we have problems with the injuries. Carson Wentz, like, people are worried about him. But my thing is, after watching this game, the coaching. I'm saying you see your quarterback being pressured on almost every play. Back every third play, basically, almost. Why aren't you readjusting your game plan? Why aren't you doing a quick two-step drop out? What happened to the RPOs we used to love? What happened to all of that? Like,
I don't know. That's the most maddening thing to me. Andrew, I've been talking about it for 2 days. You're watching the game as a coach. Now, your head's so buried in the plays that you thought you were going to be able to call that you can't actually manage the game in live time. That's what my biggest beef is.
And that's the craziest part. It scares me for our future because, yeah, we had our 13-3 season, but I feel like every other year we've been having to dog it out at the end. I don't want to have to rely on winning our last four games every season just to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of doing that.
I agree. I can't. I'm befuddled by the whole thing. That's why I wade right now in a pool, a tepid pool of uncertainty, uncomfortability. I don't know what I got with this squad now.
If you can answer, I called you looking for an answer. My God. Hopefully we have a better rest of the season, Mike, but thank you so much.
All right, man. Yeah, listen, that's my number one. You can look at specific play. Why did they do this? Why did they go for it on fourth down? Why did they do it? Well, listen, to me, if you're managing the game, you still win the game. You take specific plays and you stick them in your hat. You know? I'm looking at the whole mindset of what they're doing to counter what the bad team is doing. The bad team is beating you. They're doing X. So, like, if you're not savvy enough to beat that team doing X, like, what are you doing on the sidelines? Where are all your assistants? Who's giving you feedback? Where's the offensive line coach coming in there? I don't understand. The whole thing's confusing to me. And that's why I'm the way I am right now. I don't know whether to spit or go blind, as they say.
Who says that?
Well, it's actually different. They don't say spit.
Have
you ever heard that?
No.
Really?
I mean, I know I've heard the other one that you say.
It's like a cousin of, I don't know whether to wind my butt or scratch my watch.
Right. I know
this
that
is a cousin.
One. I've never heard of it. I've never heard
blind.
The cousin.
Yeah, it's a cousin. It's relation.
I'll have to Google it.
610-632-0975. Two of the lines are open. This is a good time to get in on the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3:45. It is the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. We're talking to the Eagles. You know, there's some activity going on in Philadelphia today with the president, right? What's the story? Is he going to be like right across the street?
No.
What is that? That's a demonstration across the street.
So, I mean, there were reports early today that there were going to be demonstrations near where our
Channel
building
6.
Is. Yeah, because he's doing the interview tonight with ABC News.
Oh,
at the Constitution Center. So there were scheduled protests that I had read about that they were going to be on City Ave, but I hadn't seen anything when I came in.
Me neither.
I don't know if there's anything out there right now.
Oh, so there's supposed to be pro-Trump and anti-Trump demonstrations tonight in the city, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so be careful if you're...
Yeah, I think
through there. I don't know what's going to be blocked. Or
they're already shutting a lot of it down. Mm-hmm. It looks like, you know, all the major highways, so 76, 676, I-95, mm-hmm. probably all around Center City is basically locked down.
Yeah. Now, if you listened to the show last week, you know I was trying to conduct a sociological experiment based on the audio that surfaced from Bob Woodward, who he wrote the book off of with his interviews with Trump, who actually did know how dangerous coronavirus was and expressed that to Woodward, and I asked for both sides of the fence on how they actually felt about that. I especially encouraged right-wing Republicans to offer their opinion on that, but unfortunately, I didn't get any. And most of the ones I got were just the anti-Trump people, and I just wanted to present the other side of it because I wanted to know how Republicans look at that and sanction that. And so more and more, the audio has kind of come out, dripped out. And there was something I heard today that I think might have been Stephen Colbert used it. Do we have that audio, Tyrone?
Yeah.
So let's hear this part of it.
And Bob, it's so easily transmissible, you wouldn't even believe it.
I know. It's.
I mean, you can be in the room. I was in the White House a couple of days ago. A meeting of 10 people in the Oval Office, and a guy sneezed innocently, not a horrible, you know, yes. Just a sneeze. The entire room bailed out, okay, including me, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I don't know that. I guess there's no reaction to something like that. So easily transmissible as somebody sneezed, he ran out of the room. But at the same time, it was liberate Michigan and liberate this and go out and. I just don't get it, and that's why I wanted you to tell me, you know, the right-wing Republican people, tell me what that kind of statement, why it doesn't have an impact on you. All right, let's get back to the phones. Dave in Center City. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
MG, you got shit on speed dial. Give him a ring. Hotel.
I wanted to learn. I'm always out to learn. You know, the guy makes a statement on the virus that he's downplayed the whole time, encouraging people to go out and get sick and die. And so I want to know, like, what's the upside of that to the people that support him? I'd just like to know. What are they thinking?
There's no upside to that. But unfortunately, he has an agenda, and that's the way it is.
It's not about him anymore. It's about, like, I want to hear from the people. You heard that. It's plain as day what he had to say about it. How do you justify it? That's all I want to know.
See, I don't want to get into politics.
All right,
go ahead. This mail-in election coming in, or this quasi-election, you know, it will be 2 years before they confirm who won that race.
Not really. That's not going to happen.
6 months.
No.
Let me get down to business.
Go ahead.
The Eagles blew a 17-point second quarter league lead in a preseason football game. Mm-hmm. Like, that's never happened before in the history of the NFL. Where's the problem at now? As Lovely Alette would say, what's the issues here? Dougie Pete coaching up third and fourth stringers again? Well, nothing new there.
Well, they had some injuries, right? They were good enough to beat that team, despite the fact that they had some guys that were out. It's clear. That team's not good. And the coach did not adjust, and the quarterback did not make plays on his own because he's caught in an old mindset that he refuses to break out of. So, again, it's the thick and the dead.
We're going to have fun with three NBA players. Coach did not adjust. This is what he's done for the last 3 years. Super Bowl, almost Super Bowl, almost Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. What do you want him to adjust to? That's what he does. He's aggressive. What do you want him to do?
No. It has nothing to do with aggression when you know your line's getting their ass kicked and your quarterback's getting the sack. That has nothing to do with aggression. That has to do with calm plays that will defeat that kind of defense. That's not hard.
He did. He called two beautiful balls.
He did not. He didn't do anything. He didn't do one screen. He didn't do a flat pass. He didn't do a draw. He didn't move the quarterback out of the pocket. He didn't do anything. Stop.
All right, let's get the.
Well, you're going to give me some more. What? This? What's my streak?
You're 50. You're 50.
50?
Okay.
50. I need seven more to set the record.
Yeah. The 57th one is going to be very difficult. So let's get down to business.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. One punch knockout artist, Kermit Washington.
Kermit Washington, I believe, went to, wait a minute, I'm thinking it's American University.
Correct.
It is
correct.
American? Oh, yeah. What a pull. That's unbelievable. All right, go ahead.
To work. All right. Second one's easy. Third one's going to be difficult.
Okay.
Met a world peace, Ron Artest.
Ron Artest, St. John's.
Okay. Seattle Supersonics wasted a first-round draft pick on this guy. He eventually ended up as a Sixer. Danny Vrains.
Danny Vrains. He went somewhere in the Utah area.
I love you,
I believe it is Utah!
I love you, brother.
Drop 53 in a row! All right. Slayed him. Kermit Washington.
That was a great pull. Fifth overall, only ended up playing. Well, he lasted. Was a Sixer from 86 to 88. And his biggest claim to fame in the league, that Vrains was all defense second team once for the fifth pick in the draft. Not a great pick from the side.
I believe Danny Vrains was a Mormon from Salt Lake, Utah. If I'm not mistaken, I believe he was like maybe the first Mormon they ever had.
Salt Lake City.
Is that right?
And went to Skyline High School in Salt Lake City.
There you go.
Then went to Utah.
Uh-huh.
And then was the fifth pick in the draft by the Sonics. So he stayed out west.
He was Utah made, Danny Vrains.
Yeah, he was, for sure. Goodness. Then he played for, actually, he only played in the league from 81 to 88. But he had a pretty long career after that overseas.
Yeah, he's a hard-nosed player. Dave, throw in the towel. If I got Kermit Washington and Danny Vrains in the same session, just throw up the table. Just round it off to 57.
Yeah,
how's that?
At this point.
610-632-0975. All right, coming up is the Big Fanatic Football Pool Contest. And we're going to tell listeners when we come back to call a certain number. And you call that certain number, and you're the fifth caller, you will get a quick $100, and you will get to qualify for the entire football pool after I ask you a trivia question. Oh, the excitement. You can cut it with a chainsaw. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.